So good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I think most people know who I am, so I don't have to introduce myself. Tonight we'll be looking at the passage that Michael read very nicely. I was relieved I got a New Testament passage this time. For the last few times I've been asked to speak, it's always been Old Testament and sometimes in a very strange place. And so when you're limited to what you can speak from, you're kind of tempted to go a little bit before or a little bit afterwards. But I know a discipline is to stay within what they ask you to do. So we'll be looking at Luke chapter 5 tonight, verses 12 to 26, under the title of Jesus' Power. These are two really nice stories. Two very good stories to learn from, and they connect very well with the morning service. Now, some of you like to come to church twice on a Sunday, so you know what I mean by morning service. We've been looking at the book of Leviticus. And in the book of Leviticus, we have been learning about what is clean and what is unclean. And we meet two characters that, according to Moses' law, are definitely unclean, and very obviously unclean. One has leprosy, and leprosy in those days was something that is definitely unclean. Anything you touched become unclean, and someone touched you, they will become unclean. This was a definite unclean person. And the poor paralyzed man, we read, according to the laws of Moses, anyone with a deformity couldn't even come into the presence of God. So we have two characters who are very unclean. So let us just pause and then we'll dig in to what we got on store tonight. Let's just pause and pray. Father God, I do pray that you'll open our hearts to receive whatever you have to give us tonight. Lord, may we know how this relates to us and what we must learn from this, and give us humble spirits to put into practice what you have to say to us tonight. Thank you, Father God. Amen. So if you have a Bible, or as I have to say with the OM young people, if you've got on your tablet or on your phone, you can look at the passage. We'll be looking at this in detail. So we have Luke chapter 5, verses 12. We'll start out. A little bit of background before we dig in. Luke is a doctor. So he knows what he's talking about when it comes to healing. So take note when you read this. It's not just a made-up story. The guy who's writing this would know exactly there's a problem here, and he would have researched it well to make sure he's covering it in a correct way. The other thing with Luke, each of the Gospels is always focused on a different aspect of Christ. And Luke wrote his gospel to teach us Jesus as the Savior of the world. So when we read a story like this, we read it in the light of how Luke wrote his gospel. He's trying to introduce us to Jesus, the Savior of the world. Not just the Jewish Messiah. Jesus is very much a Jew, and he's in a Jewish culture and environment, and we see during these healings that he tried to fit in with the culture of the day, and he tried to include priests and Pharisees to check out his miracles. But he's not limited. The title that I was given tonight was power. And I don't know what springs to your mind when you hear that word power. What do you think of when you hear, what's the first thought in your head when you hear the word power? It's usually someone abusing power, someone who's lording it over you, someone who's trying to pull a fast one. But we have power here, power to heal. That's an interesting way of getting hold of power. And also the very closely together in this passage is power and authority. Power and authority comes across very strongly here. So let us have a look at this first case in verse 12. The man with leprosy. I always find it very interesting that the Bible sometimes give people's names and other times they just refer to him or her as someone and that particular thing. So this bloke doesn't get a mention. He's just known as a man with leprosy. I wonder if he changed his name afterwards. The man who used to have leprosy. But no, I don't know why the Bible does that, but he doesn't have a name. And take note that the first thing we see, he's full of leprosy. It's a lovely term, isn't it? He's full of leprosy. Someone might say you're full of a cold. In other words, it's not just a little skin problem on the back of your hand. He's definitely got it. He's full advanced leprosy. Proper, full-blown leprosy. He's full of leprosy. Horrible thing to have. As I say, that would make him unclean. But it's interesting, the other interesting thing about this bloke, he came looking for Jesus. A lot of the healing, Jesus either walked past someone or something like that happened. But this man came looking for Jesus. So he had some understanding who Christ was. And in his state, he shouldn't really have done that. But he sort of forgot about that and went after him. And it's interesting that when he comes to Christ, he falls at his feet. And with his face on the ground and begged him, Lord, if you're willing. I like that. He didn't assume anything. He didn't assume that he was okay to do this. He asked, are you willing? If you're willing. And I think it's really nice Jesus answers that, but before he answers, he does a marvellous thing. Verse 13, he says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. This man has been avoided touch for all his life. If he touched anybody, they would be unclean. If they touched him, they would be unclean. What does Jesus do first before he says a word? He touches him. What a marvellous feeling it must be to be touched by the maker of the world. Touched you and you're filthy, spiritually, culturally, whatever, unclean. And this man not only says he's willing, but before he says that, he touches you. Marvellous. My son, he's quite large, but he loves a hug. He loves hugs. And I think, wouldn't it be a sad world if we couldn't hug people? And this man, we don't have an idea of how old he is, but for all his life, he had no one to touch him. But Jesus touches him first. I love that. He says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. And Jesus says those words, be clean. See, healing is about cleansing. It's about making whole again, making clean again. And that's why I think it's really nice that we've been looking at Leviticus in the morning, because it's given us a good understanding what sin really is and why Christ came to clean us, to forgive us and to give us that new start. I like that. And the other interesting word here is, and immediately the leprosy left him. It wasn't a process. It wasn't a few days afterwards. It was immediate. This man who just was rejected by society, kept out of society, he has this man touch of him, and immediately he's clean. I think by now this man most probably was quite excited. If he wasn't English, really he wasn't English, he was a Jewish man, so by now, yes, he would be definitely excited. But Jesus gave him this funny order. He says, don't tell anyone. Hey, don't tell anyone. He's bursting. Excitement, all the horribleness is gone. I'm clean. I want to tell someone. But Jesus says, don't tell anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer a sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them. So Jesus wanted this to be a testimony to the priests, to the Jewish authority, that this healing was for real. That's what he wanted. And he told the man to be quiet and go to the temple. But the man wasn't very obedient, because we read later, it says, yet news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. So Jesus told him to be quiet, but I don't think he did. He was off and running. He was telling everybody. And under this title of Jesus' power, we get then a glimpse of where this power come from for Christ. Verse 16 is so important. It's a sort of the key to understand all his power and all his authority. He says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I find that remarkable, because if we believe that Jesus is God, and he needed to pray, and we sort of squeeze prayer in somewhere in our day because we are so busy, but it says here, he often withdrew. But not, well, maybe I'll find time this week for about 5 minutes. I'll have a prayer time. It says Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. That was his powerhouse. That's where his connection was. It's funny that the least attended meeting in most churches is the prayer meeting. I wonder why. Don't we believe that power comes from there? It should be the most exciting place. It should be the power room. Some of our Korean brothers and sisters come to join OM. They don't understand how unenthusiastic our prayer meetings are. They think, well, what are you doing? You're just standing there. Oh Lord, bless this person. Don't you believe it? And they like to shout and get excited about prayer and get a bit of oomph into it. So are we enthusiastic about praying? Are we willing to withdraw and to be connected with God in prayer? Jesus did. So surely we should follow his example. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Remember, this is early ministry of Jesus. Remember, he's just started out, and this most probably is his first tour around Galilee. In Luke's Gospel, this comes just after he called his first disciples. But he still knows he needs to withdraw to pray and to plug back in. Then we get one of my favourite stories in the Bible. I just love this. I'm a picture person, so I got the pictures in my head of this mad story next. It's just mad. It's so exciting, but it's mad too. Healing of a paralytic man. This man could not walk, but he has some good mates who know about the man Jesus. And he says, okay, we're going to take you to Jesus. They carry this guy on his sleeping mat because he can't move. And they walk up the road to where Jesus meets him. Jesus there in this house, and it's full of people. There's teachers of the law, there's Pharisees, and there's people. Not like this room, it was packed. And again, I'm glad these men were not British, because they would have come up to the door and saw the full of people and they said, ooh, golly, the place is full. We'll come back next week and see what the crowds are like next week. And off they would go. Oh, good job. They were determined. They were focused. Are you focused? Are you really believe that Jesus could heal your friend? They didn't worry about the crowds. They didn't worry about they couldn't get in. They decided they'll make a way in. You imagine that. You're sat in this meeting. Nice, there's Jesus, there's all the dignitaries there. Everyone's being nice and listening. And all of a sudden you hear this rumpus up above. And plaster starts falling down on top of people. There's noise and chaos. There's blokes on the roof making a hole. It says that I like how calm the Bible writes stuff. It says they removed some tiles. Oh, nice. But these are flat roof houses. You know, in Israel, they would have these flat roof houses. So they're quite. When I was living in India, you go on top of the roof to sleep because it's the coolest place. So there's a flat roof and they're there banging away trying to make a hole. It must have been noisy, dirty for the people inside. But these guys have really figured out, you know, they must have paced it out, because they say when they made a hole, they lowered the guy in at Jesus' feet. They're pretty good. They didn't lower him down, you know, the wrong place, sorry, make another hole over here. But they got it right. They brought their friend and lowered him in at the feet of Jesus. I wonder what the crowd was like by then. Dusty, thank you. It would have been. But they must have been waiting for what's coming next. You know, you couldn't have. I don't think many people would be ignoring this. It must be the centre of attention, what is going to happen next. And this bloke is laid down in front of Jesus. And the other thing I'm amazed at this is verse 20. When I'm talking to people, people often tell me, Kenny, my faith is very personal. I keep it to myself. But in verse 20, it says, in my Bible, it says, when Jesus saw their faith. Well, it's a visible faith. Jesus saw their actions. They saw what they did. The guys weren't even in the room, and he could see their faith. He looked up and made a great big hole, put the guy in the floor, and he said, I can see your faith. Can people see your faith? Or is it so secret that nobody even knows that you're a Christian? People should know you're a Christian by your actions and by your deeds and the way you live your life. It should make a difference. Jesus saw their faith. And this is the funny part of the story. The guy is paralyzed. He's been lowered through the roof. His mates are up on the roof, all looking what's going to happen next. And when Jesus says this funny thing, he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. Excuse me? The man is paralyzed. But Jesus' first words to him was, "Your sins are forgiven." Wow. But surely that's where healing needs to take place first. The healing of the spirit, the inner healing. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to think to themselves. I like that. They were just thinking it. They thought they were safe with their thoughts. Who is this fella who speaks blasphemy? Now again, if we've been listening in the morning, blasphemy, it was one of the big ones for Jewish people. You couldn't say anything against God. That was blasphemy. That was a really big thing that would make you unclean. So these Pharisees were murmuring away, you know, why would they think it's blasphemy? Because they knew the only person, or God was the only one who could ever forgive people of their sins. So by Jesus saying, "Friend, your sin is forgiven," Jesus was claiming to be God. And that's what the Pharisees were grumbling about in their thinking. And verse 22 is good because Jesus says he knew what they were thinking and asked them, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart?" Imagine the Pharisees, they'd be so embarrassed, wouldn't they? They thought they'd have some quiet grumbling in their thoughts. And then this Jesus asks them, "Why are you thinking these thoughts?" You have to be careful what you think when Christ is around. He knows our thoughts. Why are you thinking such things in your heart? Then Jesus asks another question. He asks, which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or say, "Get up and walk"? So what is easier? The things that you cannot see? So I can say, "Your sins are forgiven." No one can actually see if that's really happened. That's quite easy to say in one sense. Or be healed and the person doesn't really get healed. So that's a bit harder, isn't it? So Jesus asking which is easier, which is a difficult question to ask, and to answer is even harder. But Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." There's a second immediately here. There's immediately when we had the leper, and now we got immediately in verse 25. It's an instant healing again. Instantly, this man is healed. He stood up in front of them and took his mat. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he was lying on, and went home praising God. It's amazing, isn't it? He got up. He got up in front of them immediately. Again, there was no waiting period. There wasn't a few days later. Immediately, the maker of the world, who made this man in the first place, able to put him back together again, heal him from the inside out, forgiveness, bodily healing, off he went. And I think that's another one of those Bible understatement where he says he went away praising God. I'm sure he was. But it had a reaction to the people too, that they were all filled with awe and said, "We have seen a remarkable thing." A remarkable thing. A remarkable thing indeed. To see a man who'd been paralyzed, most probably from birth, never walked. A man get up off his mat and walk out of the room. He found a way out. I'm sure people got out of his way when he got up to walk. See, Jesus was moving in the power of God. And the power of God was flowing through him and out of him to bring healing. So he had the power and the authority. He had power to heal and the authority to forgive. He could make the leper clean, he could make the paralyzed walk, be whole again. So Luke wrote this gospel to say Jesus is the saviour of the world, and we have clear signs. A miracle for when we read it in the New Testament is not something just for a special effect to wow people, to say, whoa, look at this amazing guy. But it was pointing to who Christ is. I read just a few days ago, someone defined a miracle. A miracle is a temporary suspension of some natural laws. I like that. A temporary suspension of some natural laws. A leper could not be remarkably healed just like that. But a miracle took place where those laws were temporarily suspended so that healing took place. A paralyzed man could not get off the floor after being paralyzed. A miracle took place. So that natural order was temporarily suspended so that this miracle could take place. So what are we going to do about this? I hope we sense the call that God wants to bring healing and wholeness to all of us. Miracles can happen and will happen and do happen today. Maybe not so dramatically, but I think they still do. I've seen some amazing things in my time, and I still don't know how they happened. All I know, God was at work. To understand them is something completely different. So we need to spend time with God, time alone with God. And as I be talking on Thursday a little bit more, we need to be people who dwell with God, not just casually have a relationship with God, but to dwell with God, and then we can see God's power in our lives flowing out to others. So you want to see a miracle? First of all, you have to get out the boat. You know, Peter couldn't just sit there thinking, wow, this is a nice miracle I see in front of me. Jesus walking on the water. If he wanted to experience the miracle himself, he had to get out of the boat. And maybe if we want to see a miracle in our lives, maybe we have to stop being comfortable and willing to get out of the boat, whatever that might be for us. So this is what I've got to bring you tonight. The leper being healed, the paralyzed walking again, all because of God's power that's at work in and through Christ. So if you want to be clean, come to the Saviour of the world and receive his cleansing and healing. Let's just pause and pray. Thank you, Father God, for these stories, these true happenings. Thank you, Lord, that Luke, a doctor, wrote them, that we can rely on them and understand them to be true. Thank you, Father, that man-made laws were weak, but the power and authority of God is so strong, they can overcome the natural order of things and bring about a miracle, a life transformed. Lord, may we be willing to open our lives and allow them to be transformed and empowered by your healing. Whatever healing that we may need tonight, may we open ourselves up to the power that was within to heal us, to make us whole again. Thank you, Father God.